And just like that, we're back. Pitch Invasion Season 2, Episode 1. A lot has happened since the last time we had a bit of a chat about all things football, both African and European, of course. We've had Nedbank Cup champions, and nope, it hasn't been Kaizer Chiefs. We've had Africa Cup of Nations crowning a new king in Algeria. And the one thing I wanted to identify before I introduce my normal friends alongside me is that none of us are AFCON champions, which is something maybe we didn't think about before we wrapped up Season 1, but we'll talk about all of that and more coming up on the show. Just a quick reminder, my name is Loaiza Qubu.
Emeka Enyedi here, European champion.
No. Calm down. It's a new season.
It is a new season. It is definitely a new season, and based on what we've seen on your preseason form, perhaps anything champion is not going to come to fruition this time around, but we're going to touch on Liverpool in a fair bit. Let's start with what we've just seen from the South African football scene, the long-awaited, much looked-forward to Colin Black Label Cup and Orlando Pirates doing what has become very normal, I guess, these days over Kaizer Chiefs and getting a win.
Surprise, surprise. I mean, were you surprised that Pirates were going to beat Chiefs? I saw something the other day, actually, on social media that said 5-year-old kids haven't seen Chiefs beat Pirates. So you can imagine how hectic that must be.
You are listening to the Pitch Invasion podcast. This episode was recorded live at the Digital Sport and Entertainment Summit, Johannesburg.
It was actually a good game, you know, a good advertisement for the derby.
Yeah.
You know what's kind of sad about the derby is that, you know, some 3, 4, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, where we had all this exposure, ESPN.
Do we still
coming.
Call it a derby? Do we still call it a derby?
We had all those
nil-nil
draws.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, now that the derby sort of died down in terms of the hype,
yeah,
it's now back to its glory days again. There are goals, fantastic goals at that. And I think this was a great kickstart for the season. And hopefully the fans get invigorated to come, you know, and obviously not just watch Chiefs and Pirates, but this was a great way to sort of like a curtain raiser for the season of what's to come. Because I honestly think last season was possibly one of the best PSL seasons in a very, very long time. I mean, on both top of the table and at the bottom of the table, it went down to the wire, you know, with Maritzburg surviving at the end and Pirates, you know, unfortunately losing out to Wits. Sundowns. So it was really an interesting season. So hopefully, you know, the derby sort of opens the curtain for what we can expect this season.
I mean, it was a very phenomenal atmosphere. It was very good. I thought both sides gave it a go. It was also a very, very good season, season opener. And we saw Kaizer Chiefs come out flying and, you know, they somehow needed a goal in that game, but once Pirates got a goal, that was, I mean, I was with Ian Wright the day after, and he said, you know, how impressed he was with just the general atmosphere and all of that drama. I think, you know, it was a good advertisement for South African football.
Now I'm glad that you've gotten all the sort of normal things that you do say when it comes to this particular game. Let's talk about the two teams now and where they actually are. Were we surprised, though, by Chiefs Pirates? Were we surprised by where Chiefs are and how they performed, and Pirates and how they performed? Ola?
I think essentially you've got to look at it this way. You had the second best team in the country against wherever Chiefs finished, was it 6th, 7th, somewhere there, you know, so the result really didn't surprise me much, as much as it was a Soweto derby. But essentially, you know, you've got a Pirates team that's firing in on all cylinders, the confidence is high.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, Chiefs didn't put on too bad of a showing for themselves. I mean, they had some chances there. I mean, they caught Wayne Sunderland on a day where he's really, you know, put his name up in terms of the best goalkeeper in the country. And, you know, one or two of those go in and it's a different story. Mm. And
especially at 1-0, the chance for Lazarus Gambole where he...
Yes, it's at 1-0.
Yeah.
And I mean, and the one save that he made... was a brilliant save.
Yeah.
So I think if you're a Chiefs fan, you know, the defeat obviously is disappointing because it's to your bitter rivals. But I think you also have to be...
You should be talking about the goal that Lodge scored.
I'm getting Lodge's goal. And... You know, I think there are some early signs for Chiefs that, you know, there is an improvement this season. Some of the players actually look good. That Serbian striker, to me, looked pretty sharp.
Yeah.
You know, he had a few chances that, you know, were probably half chances, but I'm sure as, you know, more game time and he gets familiar to South African football, he'll put that away. Castro had a chance, which I thought, you know, was a bit of a half chance, but other than that, if you're a Chiefs fan, you know, there's a lot of optimism, you know, going into the season. But if you're a Pirates fan, I think, you know, back to where you left off, really. And like I said, you know, this essentially is the second best team in the country. And this is 2 years in a row now that Pirates have fallen short of being crowned champions. And, you know, if the saying goes third time lucky, I think if you're a Pirates fan, you're looking into this season, you think, okay, we've easily dealt with Chiefs. And, you know, we've added to the firepower that we had last season. Why not think that this is the season that, you know, they can go on and possibly win the title?
I'm glad you touch on the firepower that they've added, because on our agenda, we've got a question that says, which team has won the transfer season so far in South African football? And you look at the number of players and the quality that Pirates have brought in. I just look at the two that they took from Maritzburg United, and I think to myself, that's a team that is, you know, obviously thinking about, you know, challenging not only for the league, but also the CAF Champions League.
I mean, I must say that, you know, what Pirates has done is look at where they have shortcomings from last season, and they've tried to improve on it. You know, and that makes a lot of sense, because they were very close, really, really close. And so this was a good point for them to try and close that gap.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that pans out, if they will go the same way they went with Sundowns last season.
Okay. You wanted to touch on the second goal, that winning goal, that goal from Temi Nkosi-Lorch. I guess, you know, you have to maybe... Perhaps it's a good thing that it's just as recent as Percy Dow, where you look at a player who's been able to come into a season with such top billing. And from what we saw, again, it's just still game one of the season. It's not really the season started either. But he seems like a man who's willing to take that mantle on this season and perhaps drive Pirates to greater things.
I think the greatest thing for him was, you know, finishing the season on a high. Imagine player of the season, going to AFCON. And, you know, it seemed like, you know, he was going to be like a bit part player. And then his moment came.
Yeah.
And he took it. He comes back from that and he continues from that point. I think that from then on, he definitely will be on the radar of clubs in Europe.
Yeah. Sure. Okay. Europe already.
Yes.
Can I make this bold statement now? Okay. If Temi Nkosi-Lorch is in the country by Christmas, right, something is really wrong. Okay, something is really wrong, because that guy has proven this calendar year that he is ready and he should be on that Percy Dow level. That goal, to me, I think, you know, was probably the exclamation point to say that, guys, I'm ready, take me now. Listen, the season's just started. There's some teams that can still snap him up, hopefully.
No, come on. And no, come on.
The season has just started. The transfer windows are still open.
Give him a chance to get his second season.
No, he should go right now. If that guy is here by the turn of the new year, something's really wrong. And I think he's really put his hand up to say, listen, I'm the next South African star.
Yeah.
European clubs, I'm here and I'm ready. And, you know, it's a pity that at AFCON he didn't really get the sort of the chances that he got. But I think he grew into the tournament, if anything. It's just that, you know, he peaked, you know, in the knockout stages. But I think Temi Nkosi-Lorch is, he could go back-to-back player of the season this year. He looked confident, he looked sharp. Yeah. And I mean, for a guy that's barely had rest, I mean, this guy's literally, I don't think he's had a month off.
No,
entire year. He's had barely any rest. And he looked sharp, he looked fit. And I think he's really ready. And I'm willing to bet that he's going to go back-to-back player of the season.
No, guys, I really think we're just jumping the gun a bit here. It's a preseason game, man. It's a preseason game that has received plenty of coverage, I understand
90,000 people.
It's a derby, 90,000. There'll always be 90,000 people when Chiefs play Pirates. But we're jumping the gun here a bit, guys. Like, you know what? Yes, we know how good he is. And he's got every chance to be, you know, player of the season again. But I'm not going to read too much into game one of... A non-starter of a season, by all accounts.
Yeah, you see, the mistake you're making, Lars, is that you're looking at this game as if it's game one. You need to start from last season, carry this over, because for year, in terms of 2018, 2019, Temi Nkosi-Lorch has been on a tear. And I think it's possible, right, that guy could probably go on to be sort of like the next
don't
star
say it. Don't
that
say
we're
it,
looking
Ola.
For to lead Bafana.
No,
in,
come
in,
on. It see is what I mean?
Because when you look at the game that he played against
this is what
Egypt,
I mean.
Right?
Yep.
And you look at the game against Nigeria, it was clear that this is, although Percy Tau didn't have the best tournament.
You guys lost, huh?
Yeah, you know, it's funny that we lost to Nigeria, you know, literally on the wrong scale and the wrong tournament, yeah. Wrong. But
you lost.
Yeah, we lost, I know. But, you know, we could play Nigeria tomorrow, we'd beat you.
In okay. Uyo, let's go back to Uyo. Let's take it back to
yeah,
Uyo.
Let's go back to Uyo. Let's go back to Uyo, right? Let's go back to Uyo and, yeah. But I think, you know, Temi Kosiloch for me is playing a level of football that is really international. And that's the sort of style of play that we need to get a lot of our players to be playing.
Yeah.
Because you can see now with Percy Tau having signed for Club Bruges,
yeah.
There's a level or a standard, let me put it that way, that I think we need to get quite a number of our players at so that it's easy for them to go from the PSL straight into a European team.
Yeah.
Because often, you know, South African players, you know, we have to bypass, you know, the national team rule in terms of, you know, the visa.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, you know, the reputation of South African players and so forth. So the more of these players that we get at that level, like Lodge, like Percy Tau, I think it's greater for South African football.
Okay. All right. Fair point, Ola. I hear you and your musings about Temi Kosiloch. And I hope it's not coming from you know, the Pirates jersey. And I hope it's not the Pirates fan talking when you say that, because I'm going to talk now as a Chiefs fan.
Yeah, a little
fan.
Bit of it.
I'm going to talk as a Chiefs fan now and ask you, Emeka, if you are looking at giving Ernst Middendorp the whole season, is that possible? Firstly, is he going to last the whole season at Chiefs? And secondly, what do you think Chiefs can look forward to this campaign?
I worry for him because, you know, Chiefs fans are really, really not having it. You know, there was so much...
We're not having it because we've been having it.
Yeah, because, I mean, you look at it and say, how do you get to a point where, you know, they're asking for a change? They've signed some players, but the question at the end of the day is, you know, when you have to start the season every year playing against Pirates,
yeah,
it's not a very good way to start the season, because you get to a point where, you know, you're now under pressure before the season even starts.
Yeah.
But we hope that maybe there's a chance that he will pull something there. We've seen them stick with Steve Compella for at the point where people thought he was going to go. So
yeah.
Let's see, maybe they're willing to, but I don't know. You know, he has to get Chiefs competing from day one.
If he is to stay.
Yes.
Okay, and my question now is because we saw another, again, unfortunate mistake from the goalkeeping department, from Bruce Bvuma, who just days prior had, I guess, laid down a challenge to Itumeleng Nkune, saying, get fit and let's fight for the number one jersey.
Yeah, so what a way to...
Exactly, and then he goes and does that. And again, he couldn't do much about the second goal.
No,
he
the second goal, he had no chance.
But from a Chiefs point of view, it seems they're going to start the season again without Itumeleng Nkune. And seemingly... yet to really sort out this issue with goalkeepers and little lapses of concentration, which cost them a top 8 spot last season.
Yeah, it's interesting the goalkeeping department at Chiefs, because, I mean, they've tried 4 keepers
yeah.
now. And, I mean, add Igbe to that equation
yeah.
as well, you know. And I don't know what's wrong there. Maybe it just shows that, you know, the expectation to fill in Itumeleng Nkune's boots are actually quite heavier than we thought.
Yeah.
Because remember, Kune, I think, is a 2-time or 3-time Kaiser Chiefs Player of the Year.
Yeah,
so
easy.
Never mind goalkeeping position you're filling, but there's a void in terms of the stature and the ability that, you know, these guys are coming into.
Yeah.
And we're probably finding out that it's probably heavier than what they thought. And I think for Chiefs going into this season, you know, it's a clean slate and they've got to look at the season with optimism, because right now, you know, there's one less cup competition to worry about in the immediate forefront. And they can save their energy and focus on the league, you know, in the immediate run. But the interesting thing for me, I thought, was that they really didn't do much in getting another goalkeeper. It seems like they spent more of their focus going
yeah.
up front and up forward and in the
yeah.
midfield. So I think they're probably expecting Kuna to be back rather sooner than, you know, what is expected. So when I look at it that way, I don't think they'll go much longer with Bryce Vuma. And I don't know what's happening with the Igbe situation.
I mean, he's still at the team.
He's still contracted to the team. Yeah. Yes, but he is. I haven't seen him in training. But I don't even know if he's in the country.
No, AFCON. Don't forget that he played in the AFCON up until the
third and fourth place,
which is like playing the loser's final. So usually,
the loser's final. All of it's those, not like playing the final.
Yes, all of yeah, those.
It's a, not like playing the final. He's so a goalkeeper.
Can you just
correct Jimika? He says it's like playing the final. It's not.
It's not.
He played third and fourth place.
And he's a goalkeeper, for good sake.
Did he actually play that game? I'm sure.
No,
I'm
no
sure.
He didn't play the third.
He didn't play. So he should be back here.
He's had time to rest. Tembi Nkosi Lodge, I mean, he went all the way to the semis at least. To the quarters.
No, quarterfinals. Not
quarterfinals. I did say quarters.
When you play the semifinals, you're there until the final, on the second to the final.
I did say quarters.
Don't even go there.
I corrected myself. Quarters.
Okay, but we can now, I think, safely move on from Chiefs Pirates. But before we do, because we need to talk about Sundowns a fair bit, but there's a player within the Kaizer Chiefs ranks. He's played for Sundowns before, and by all accounts, he could be going back to Mamelodi Sundowns. Sir Kamabiliad.
You know, I don't know. There's a syndrome called Helsinki syndrome or Stockholm syndrome,
yeah,
where people who've been kidnapped, you know, once they're released,
they go back.
They miss the people that kidnapped. I think it's called Helsinki syndrome or Stockholm syndrome, and I think that's what Kamabiliad probably has right now, because he's probably realized that, you know what, achieves. You know, obviously, it's not what he expected.
And yeah.
Maybe the weight of expectation is greater than what he thought. Because remember, he was brought in at Chiefs as the new sort of savior.
Yeah.
The guy that's going to turn things around for Kaizer Chiefs.
Yeah.
And you sort of saw that in his play, where I thought he was trying too hard. And he didn't sort of incorporate his players and rather relied on his talent.
Yeah.
And I think players like Kamabiliad, to me, are the sort of players, they are system players. Right, they work well under a strict system with good players as well. And I think you can see with the way Bizo Mosomani coaches, he coaches under a system.
Yeah.
Hence, a lot of those players thrive. And when a player like Kamabiliad decides, okay, I'm going to fly out the nest and try it on my own, I think he realizes that, you know what, maybe, nah, doesn't work out so well. So.
Yeah.
It would be a shock move if he does go back to Sundowns, because now I'm trying to understand where he's going to play.
Mm.
Because there's no way moving some of the players that are at Sundowns.
Lebo
Mabowe.
No, come on.
Those guys have really
If Billiard goes back to Sundowns, he starts. He's that type of player. He goes back to Sundowns, he starts.
Ahead of who?
Whomever.
Really?
Whomever. He starts.
Ahead of Pagamani Mahlambi.
I don't think Peter Musimano will be making. I don't think Sundowns will be making such a thing about it. If
Temba's one.
Yes, any of them, he will start.
Giston Serino.
I think he will start, because he knows the system. He knows, and I think, you know, the move to Chiefs hasn't really been what everyone expected it to be. So probably would be a good chance for him to go back and redeem himself. And Sundowns know what they're going to get from him if they get him back.
Okay, so that then, and that would mean Chiefs will lose their marquee signing from the last two seasons, which again, I think will leave Chiefs in even a bigger spot of bother. But before we do wrap up, Mamelodi Sundowns, their business in the transfer market, haven't done much, but do they need to do a lot?
Well, if it's not broken, why fix it? And I mean, if you're a two-time league champions, right, there's a good reason behind that.
Yeah.
And the reason, to me, is...
And they got to the semi-finals of the CAF Champions League.
And there you go. And that, to me, speaks volumes for Vito Musumani's organization. Hence, I was saying, you know, there are certain players that are, you know, rather good under a certain structure. And I think Vito Musumani brings that structure that has brought Sundown success. So I think, you know, he knows what he's doing at this point, and he doesn't need to panic. Look, everybody is trying to catch up to Sundown. So.
Yeah.
There's nothing that Sundowns have to do kooky in the transfer window. They don't have to sign 10 players. All they need to do is literally just dot their I's and cross their T's, and they're back in the title hunt again. And if they do that and Sundowns win 3 league titles in a row, obviously it will replicate the Ted Dimitri 3 title wins in a row. But I think it's a big thing in South African football to have a club in such a short space of time like Mamelodi Sundowns eclipse the Soweto clubs.
Yeah.
Because when you look at it on and off the field, Sundowns are moving to greater heights. And to me, it culminated when I saw that picture of the Egyptian kid asking for Hlompho Kekana's jersey. I can't remember when Pirates won the 95 K
CAF Champions League, if anyone in Cote d'Ivoire was asking for Jerry's Cosina's jersey. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that means they now have a global, well, let's just say they now have an appeal outside of the country. So to me, if Sundowns win three in a row, that is a massive feather in that entire club's cap. And I think it's going to take some stopping, you know, to get to Sundowns even at, you know, basic level. Because if they win three in a row, I think Biso is, you know, determined enough to say, you know what, maybe we can go four, maybe we can go five and try to be the next Alex Ferguson.
Well, you know, if they do win three in a row, the question then might be, will Biso still be Sundowns coach, or will he be looking at other avenues?
Definitely. I think Biso, you know, he knows where it's good. He knows home is where the heart is. And he knows there's a legacy that he has to build there. Remember, there are guys like Gordon Eagerson, guys like Gavin Hunt that he still wants to eclipse. So I think he wants to be a legend here first. And I think he set his sights on that. I mean, Biso could have easily gone last season.
Yeah.
Right? There were reports of you know, some clubs in Africa that wanted him. So he could have gone last season. I think Biso's got his eye on the prize. And he's thinking, listen, I could be the Alex Ferguson of South African football and eclipse everybody here.
Okay. Those are the final words from Ola. Final words from Emeka ahead of the new season. I'm going to ask you, who's winning the Absa Premiership?
Pirates. I think Pirates will win this year.
Okay.
Good choice. Good choice.
Because?
I just think that they've kept the team together and they reinforced. And I think that they're going to have one more push. You know, last season last two seasons they've come from behind.
Yeah.
I think this time around they look like they're ready to go from day one. And that's what I took from the last game.
Okay. And for you, Ola?
That's a hard one. Let's see. Of course it's Pirates. I believe in third time lucky.
I didn't even ask.
And I don't think Pirates can go 3 years in a row finishing second. That's just not possible. They are hungry. They've got the ammunition. They've got the best player in the country. Pirates will win this league.
I'm going to throw a little span in the works here and say Cape Town City. Watch out for Cape Town City. They're going to be champions of the AFSA Premiership 2019-20 season. Well, that is pretty much for episode number one of season two. There's so much more to look forward to on the South African landscape as well as the African landscape when it comes to football over the next couple of weeks. The leagues are coming back. That is the one thing we are all excited about. So do make sure that you tune in next time as well. One last time from the Digital Sports Summit all the way in Johannesburg. My name is Lwazi Zikubu.
Ameka Nyadike.
Ola Makwaza.
And for Pitch Invasion, that's goodbye.
Pitch Invasion is the podcast for football tribalists. To contribute to the show, pose a topic of debate, or just complain about your favorite team, send us a WhatsApp voice note on +27 609 216977. That's +27 609 216977. Or send us a text message starting with hashtag Pitch Invasion. Remember to follow the Pitch Invasion podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram under the username Pitch Invaded.